The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Welcome back. Hope you had a great weekend. Are you strung out on candy? Still on a sugar high? What's going on? I bought way too much candy. The question is, did I do that on purpose? So by the time we had a lot of kids coming by, and I was like, hey, you know, a lot of kids were polite. And they're like, take one. We have this huge bowl, right? There's probably 400 pieces of candy in there. And then they take one. I'm like, take another. Take another one. Take another. I'm like, no, take a handful. Like 5, 6, 7. Go ahead, take more. And so they did. But we still had some left over. So I've been indulging on banana Laffy Taffy since Saturday at about, I don't know, 7 p.m. But I hope you had a good weekend. And it is the first Monday of the month. Can you believe it? November 1st, 2021, which means 2022, right around the corner. Hey, George Jetson, where's my flying car? So, of course, on the first Monday of the month, we have a chance to do a full Money Monday with a good friend, David Fisher. And we've got a lot to cover today. Obviously, a lot going on. And why do we talk about this regularly on the show? Well, we do it on the show because God did it in his word. Whether you're looking at the Old Testament or the New Testament, individual scriptures about money and possessions outnumber scriptures on faith and outnumber scriptures on prayer, because God knew that we would struggle with this issue of money and possessions, which is why we make it a regular occurrence here on the show. David Fisher, our friend from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. As always, David, how are you?
I'm doing great, except for I'm missing some banana Laffy Taffy. I didn't get any this year.
Bummer. I'll ship you some.
No, that's okay.
I don't know if it'll be as helpful as ivermectin has been for you, but it'll be somewhat helpful. Speaking of ivermectin, can I share a little story right quick?
Please do.
Okay, so last Thursday night we had kind of our fall. We have like 4 fundraising seasons for the ministry, and last Thursday night at a friend's house, beautiful home. We had a great crowd. We had incredible Texas barbecue for 40, which was great, except for we had like 56 people show up. So that was an interesting challenge. But one of the things that I shared with them that night, David, was how God has used the ministry over the years, and often, because this is kind of a strange platform and radio and social media, and you don't always know what God is doing with what we put out there. But I was able to share with this crowd your ivermectin story, which was a huge blessing to them, and really gave them an idea of what God can do. And sometimes we sit there and go, what are we doing all this for? We have these conversations every week. But God can work with our little stuff and turn around and do things that turn into huge blessings. So people really loved that story. They were encouraged by how that had touched your life and it touched their life consequently. So that was really cool. That was for being able to share that last week at our event was great.
You know, I'm getting a little bit choked up because it's reminiscing. I got to give you a praise report on ivermectin, the impact. And this is not a boasting on David or my wife, Marianne. In fact, my wife does more work on this side of things behind the scenes than I do. I just get to talk about it a little bit on your show and other radio shows. But I can confirm at least 25 people, we've helped them avoid death by getting them in touch with ivermectin.
Wow.
And they were at the same place that we were. Now, just to clarify, I'm not a doctor. I don't prescribe it. I'm not selling it or anything like that. It's just if somebody has COVID, getting ivermectin is not as difficult as you think. We figured out a whole bunch of resources. So if you're hearing my voice, you have COVID, call my company. You don't have to ask about gold or silver. There's no gimmick here, nothing like that. Marianne will help you get some ivermectin, and there's a lot of resources for that. And we've figured out a way around the big roadblock that the FDA Big Pharma puts in front of this, because we're all here about helping people, and that's what the bottom line is. And normally we help people with their wealth, but now this is their health, and this is not our wheelhouse. But we got to get the word out, and you know, we're here to help people.
Yeah, and that's, and you provide information and options just like you do with your regular business, and then it's up to individuals to decide. Ivermectin, yep. Everybody needs to remember, this is a fully FDA recognized and approved drug. It's been around for a while. Of course, we're not talking about the one that's used for horses. That's just, it's a stupid mainstream media game. Yep. Going, oh, you're using horse medicine. No, actually, you know, this is ivermectin made for humans. And then it's up to us, unfortunately, David, in these days, that we have to kind of remember, even on something like this, it feels like we're the remnant, and you're going to have to operate outside of what the mainstream media and even our own government tells us. And there's more information out there, and they're not always giving it to us. And they're certainly not providing it in a way that's on an equal footing. They decide what course they're going to push, and that's the only one that they talk about. And if you go against that, well, you get deplatformed and knocked off YouTube and all that good stuff. But praise the Lord that here, through your own sickness and near-death experience, and not just you, David, but your wife, you're able to turn around and help other people. What they do with it's up to them. But boy, I think it's incumbent upon us as believers, if we're going to love our neighbors as ourselves, that's not just a saying. That's something we need to do.
You know, and I understand the reluctance. My wife is really fearful of taking ivermectin because all she heard was the bad rap on it.
Sure.
From the mainstream media. And when four paramedics stood in our house, because we called 911 and said, take ivermectin, you'll feel incredibly better in 48 hours, that was enough for her. And, and the alternative was death or going to, you know, hospital and being on a ventilator, which only 26% of the people survive from that with this type of COVID. Yeah. And so she had a remarkable turnaround and made a believer out of her.
Yeah, really amazing. So praise the Lord for that. And let's all just continue to pray for each other and look out for each other on this issue as we're just trying to seek information and alternatives. There isn't just one narrative on this. And so we just thank you, Lord, for blessing David this way and for giving us this information and helping us share one with another. So that's really cool. I know we've got a lot to talk about today. We're doing a full Money Monday, so we're going to come up on a break here pretty quick. We'll talk about the Federal Reserve is meeting this Wednesday. Why is it, David, that when the Federal Reserve meets, that never helps me sleep well at night? It's like, okay, these guys aren't good for our mental, financial, and emotional health. So we're going to talk about that, some of the things going on. Just with general financial challenges, we'll talk about the infrastructure bills. What's the status of that? They didn't get that done before the president took off. And also, by the way, and we're going to hit the break, did you hear about Elon Musk? Did you hear about this little deal?
Are you talking about feeding the homeless?
The UN, yeah. When he's like, hey, you guys want to come after the richest 700 to 1,000 of us here in America to solve your problems. Tell you what, I'll bail you out. You want to solve world hunger with $6 billion. Elon's willing to do that, but there is a catch. There's a caveat, which is the one I think we would all agree with. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about inflation. We'll talk about gold and silver. A full Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. As always, it's his website. David, I'm going to put you on hold. Praise the Lord for what God is doing in David and Marianne's life, and they're helping other people. So if you want to find out more information about ivermectin, give them a call. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, to my brothers and sisters in Christ out there. Don't forget the lyrics of that song, Worthy is the Lamb. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world, ultimately, because worthy is the Lamb. You have COVID, you don't have COVID. You have a lot of money, you don't have a lot of money. You have good health, you don't have good health. Things are going well with your kids, things aren't going well with your kids. Things are going well with your job, they're not going well with your job. Worthy is the Lamb still. That's the rock. That is the solid rock of our salvation. And if your house is built on that rock, ultimately, it doesn't matter what comes at you in the here and the now. Because that rock will not shift. There's no shifting shadow there with the Lord. And so make sure if everything going on financially, in the world, the Great Reset, COVID, Biden, politics, whatever's rocking and rolling you, if you're just up and down and all over the map and you know Christ, you need to revisit the rock that your salvation is built on. You need to revisit the character of God, knowing that you can trust him with everything. And if you're not, if you don't know where you're at when it comes to the Lord, if you don't know where you're at, if you died today, you don't know whether you'd go to heaven or not, then do me a favor. Well, actually, do yourself a favor. So don't do me a favor at all. Do yourself a favor. We just put together a really easy page on my website, thestevenobleshow.com. And at the top of the website, you'll see one word that you need to click on. That's the word heaven. Just click on that. It's a very simple page. It'll take you through what the Bible says in very understandable language. Here's what the Bible says about how you go to heaven. And there's a great little gospel video there that's about 5 minutes that'll explain it. You know me, very simple, down the level, street level language, all about the gospel. So if you're not sure if you died today from COVID or whatever, if you would go to heaven, then please go to that page, thestevenobleshow.com. Just click on heaven at the top of the page. That's more important than anything else we could ever share on the air, the gospel above everything else. David Fisher is here with us for a Full Money Monday. Today is Monday, November 1st, 2021, almost over, which is shocking. It gets weirder as the years go by, I suppose, David, as we get a little bit older. But it's great to have you on, as always, my friend. We appreciate you.
I concur with you on both of those points, my friend.
Amen. So what are some things in the news? There's a lot of financial challenges. Inflation is real and getting worse. But what are some things, some topics in the news that we need to really... Well, let's talk about the Federal Reserve first. I mentioned that. So let's get the real Las Vegas visit out of the way here. What do we think is going to happen this Wednesday when the Fed meets?
Well, it's supposed to be a big meeting. It's a different one for two reasons, Steve. The one that the Fed does this thing called the dot plot, which it's basically... they're plotting out what things are going to happen. And when it comes to the market, their dot plot is more bearish than they've seen in a long time. So, but the big announcement, that's the first announcement. The second one is really the announcement. And that is, we could see for the first time a big change in Fed policy. They've been buying $120 billion of mortgage-backed securities and treasuries a month. Now they're they might announce a taper, which means instead of buying 120, it'll be less than that. So here's what the projections are. They're going to reduce it down to about $105 billion, $10 billion less in treasuries and $5 billion less in mortgage-backed securities. This is the first cut of purchases coming, and it would start this mid-November, they're saying, possibly. Last month, central banks started cutting. Australia, Canada, Bank of England, even the ECB talked about cutting. They didn't do it, but they talked about it. So the Fed might actually be finally listening to all the economists that are saying, you're way behind the curve. You need to stop all the mortgage-backed securities and the Treasury buying the economy, let it stand on its own 2 feet, and you need to start raising interest rates. They're not going to raise interest rates yet, but it looks like they're going to start cutting. Buying all this debt.
So would you say this is, are we hopeful that this is at least a little bit of a sobering up for the Fed?
I would think so, although, you know, most of the Fed has been saying that they should have been done this 6 months ago.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Jerome Powell is saying no. You know, they poured liquidity in the markets for 19 months, and, you know, in 2008, the Fed balance sheet was... $1 trillion, less than that. Now it's 8.6, and half of that's come from the last 19 months. So
jeez.
Bill Ackerman, he's a billionaire, he said the Fed should taper immediately and begin raising rates as soon as possible. So, and there's a Franklin Templeton guy, he's saying there's a direct link between the market going up and the Fed's behavior of their buying. So if that's the causing it to go up, we might see the market to go sideways or possibly go down if they reverse this role.
So as they begin to taper, what can we expect will happen to your average American? Not people that have a lot of the bank or people that have a lot in the markets, but just your average American that's working and trying to get by.
Well, it should have. It just depends on how reliant the economy and the stock market has been on the Fed. I think that it's going to affect the market, not maybe the first time or first month or. But within the first 6 months, the market will pull back. The time they've talked about it before, what has happened is the market pulled back 10%, and that was 2018 December when they talked about doing this. They didn't do it. So if you have a 401k or portfolio at all, it might negatively affect that. It also might affect the economy in a negative way because it's not getting that support of free money flowing into it anymore. So it's definitely not going to have a positive effect from a market standpoint. It's going to be negative, but it's going to have a positive effect from the standpoint of the market will stand on its own 2 feet, live or die by, and so will the economy. And that's what should have been happening over a decade ago.
Right, right. What a novel idea. So that's obviously going to be an issue as we push later in the week, Fed meeting on Wednesday. What are some other topics going on in the news right now that we need to be concerned in terms of how they might affect us financially?
Well, speaking of the debt, last week, the seven-year auction We have a 10-year treasury. We have a 30-year treasury. We have different years of terms of treasuries. The 7-year treasury auction, I don't want to say collapsed, but it probably was represented by less than 50% of the volume compared to normality. And this is kind of goes along hand. What happened last February, about 70-80% of the volume was not there at a huge 7-year note auction. And these notes are about $62 billion each, these two auctions, one that happened in February that was not very well attended and the one that just happened last week. This tells us that foreigners are not wanting to buy our debt, and that could cause a problem. So that's a big headline. Also, speaking of debt, how about deficits? The U.S. deficit is at the highest level in history last month. It grew by 9.2% to $96 billion. It broke the previous record, which was just the month before that, August, at $88 billion. So nobody really cares about this. Traders don't care about deficit, you know, trade deficits. But when it becomes an issue, then they take light of it and they pay attention. And many believe that the stock market called Black Monday 1987 was triggered by bad news on a trade deficit. So just be careful out there. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, especially in this environment.
What about all the we haven't talked about this specifically, and then we're going to get to the infrastructure bill and what's going on there on the other side of the break. But what about the whole issue of supply chain problems? Because, you know, we're talking about, oh, we've got to start Christmas shopping now because you don't know you're going to be able to get stuff. We're going to hit the break, David. But think about that through the break. And how much is that going to factor into what's going on with the markets and our savings and our investments, the whole issue of supply chain stuff. And then we'll talk about that they can't get this across the finish line. And to that, I say praise the Lord. The infrastructure bills, which they wanted to be done with that before Biden got on the jet. And they didn't, so we'll get an update with David on that. A Full Money Monday with David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. A Full Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. Their website, as always, landmarkgold.com. By the way, on Facebook Live, I put the phone number up. If you have questions about ivermectin, because that was a life and death change for David as well as his wife not that long ago, just literally a few weeks ago. And it was a listener here that became a client of David's, and they reached out when they knew David was struggling with COVID, he and his wife. And ivermectin made all the difference in the world. So if you want some information, David's not a doctor. I'm not a doctor. We're just brothers in Christ trying to help other brothers and sisters in Christ and share some information, get educated. This is what David does with his business anyway. But in this case, if you want to check that out, just give him a call. You just say, hey, I'm not interested in gold or silver or financial stuff. I just want to get some information about ivermectin. They'll be happy to talk to you about it. And I say that going, are we doing something illegal? It's not illegal. This is not an illegal drug. Okay. We're not selling mushrooms over the radio or something crazy like that. This is a fully FDA-approved drug that's been around for a while. So their phone number there, and just say, hey, I'm just calling to get some information about ivermectin. 844-604-2575. That's up to you. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just, if you want to get some information to talk to somebody else who's been down this road, let's give them a call and ask. This, last time I checked, it's not against the law to seek information. 844-604-2575, and I hope you don't mind me doing that, David, but if people want to find out information, they should be able to.
Absolutely not. Thank you for doing that. We want to help people in any way, shape, or form. We're
Amen.
Here for people.
Amen. Thank you for that. Okay, so the infrastructure bill, they were trying like the Dickens last week, trying every different way, and then by the way, Joe, if you're listening, Mr. President, if anybody's listening, if it's free, if it costs nothing, why were they jumping through so many different hoops of their own creation last week, David, as a way to pay for it? I thought it was paid for already.
Well, not according to the Congressional Budget Office. The Congressional Budget Office, the 1.25 infrastructure bill says it's going to cost $256 billion in deficit. And the other one, I hope you're sitting down. The Congressional Budget, there's two entities saying this. The Congressional Budget Office says $530 billion it's going to cost. But then there's another entity called the National Taxpayers Union. They're saying you guys are all out to lunch. It's going to cost $1.85 trillion between the two bills over 10 years. And that's a independent entity that watches the government on spending. So, and there's so much junk in this bill still. I mean, it changes every week. Let me give you some good news, first of all.
Sure.
I hate to always be the bearer of bad news, because I'm not. I like to tell good news. And people in my industry would not normally say this, and they probably don't want me to say this, but I'm going to say it because it's the truth. Remember the $600 the IRS causing banks to look in your bank account to report the IRS if you have more than $600 and move it out in 1 year? Then they changed it to $10,000, that thing?
Yep.
That got removed last Wednesday from this bill.
That's huge. Praise the Lord,
great news.
Praise the Lord, yes. We don't want to give the government any more reason or ability to look into our private lives, because that's what they're doing. You move money in and out. Now, there was a caveat in there about if it's a payroll check, okay, fine. But what they're trying to do is find, are you getting any money that we're not aware of that we should get the part of your money? I mean, because they're so desperate, it's only going to get worse as the total debt goes up and up and up. But that, yeah, at least there's one good piece of news. But the infrastructure bill, they keep changing it because it must be pretty interesting to be Kristen Sinema or Joe Manchin these days, because they're pretty much holding the whole world in their own two hands.
Yeah, Joe Manchin, he came out and did a 7-minute video today publicly, a press conference, and he set the record straight and he said this, quote, "Nothing is happening on the reconciliation bill until a bipartisan infrastructure bill is passed the House and more clarity is provided in general." He goes on to say, you know, we don't even know really what's in this bill yet, and I want to read the text. And so he's saying, unfortunately, not everybody in Congress has the same feeling, and colleagues, they want an all or nothing, and he's not that way. Thank the Lord.
Yeah, thank the Lord for that. Exactly right. You guys want to pray for somebody, an elected official, as we are supposed to, according to Scripture. Pray for those two, because they're literally in the Senate, the only ones standing in the way. And Nancy Pelosi's caught between a rock and a hard place, because she's got people trying to drive the price down while she's got the squad trying to drive the price back up. It's just a big train wreck. And then, of course, last week, hey, let's come up with this tax to go after the richest 700 to 1,000 billionaires out there and go after their wealth. Unrealized capital gains, meaning if you bought a house at the beginning of the year for $300,000 and today it's worth $400,000, this is the federal government saying, oh, we're going to tax you on that $100,000 you just made. And you say, hey, I haven't sold the house. I still live here. That's unrealized capital gains. Yeah, whatever. You owe us 10%, 5%, whatever the case may be. That's why we both brought up that story of Elon Musk, who was tweeting about that, and then the UN was bugging him, saying, hey, if we had $6 billion, with a B, we could take care of world hunger this year. $6 billion, big deal, Elon, because you're worth like $250 billion now. And he said, I'll come out tomorrow. This is a great story. I love this guy. I'll sell Tesla stock tomorrow and give you $6 billion in cash if you can show me how you're going to account for it. Because why would I waste the money? Because the UN's wasting money and countries waste money all the time. I thought that was a great move on his part.
Yeah, and David Beasley, who's the head of the World Food Program, comes out on Twitter and he says, well, because Elon Musk says, put it out public, respond to the tweet so we're all on the same page and there's no misaccounting of money. And so Beasley comes out and says, well, let's put this into... paraphrasing. Let's put this in perspective. Last year, we spent $8.4 billion to cover world hunger. It didn't fix it. And he's saying, you know, but if we had $6 billion more, then we'd reach 115 million more people, and this would help us out. So he never really clarified that it would actually fix it. You know, so it is a lot of money, but it would help a lot of people. But the good news is it shows Elon Musk heart.
Yeah.
And he also, you know, shows him that he's not going to be about politics, and he says, I just want to fix the problem, but the problem's bigger than what you're telling us.
Right. I mean, you guys give me a good accounting of where the money's going to go, what's going on there, and I'll be happy to do it. Of course, for them, their own privacy and their own shell game is worth more than world hunger. And the proof is in the pudding. All they have to listen, if I have to give you some accountability to get $6 billion in cash, I'll give you whatever you want. If that's going to change world hunger this year, why wouldn't they do it? But, of course, they won't. It's just really amazing. So do you think this infrastructure bill is actually going to get passed before the end of the year?
Well, Bernie Sanders, he's totally upset, and a few other moderates in that group are completely upset. They're still, like, saying we'll take something on this, even though it was $3.5 trillion, it's now a lot less, which it should be a lot less. I think it will pass, but I don't think it's going to pass tomorrow, which is what Nancy Pelosi was saying.
Yeah, she keeps saying that.
It's still going to be, you know, yeah, they were supposed to pass it by October 31st, but they didn't do that. So, I mean, they just keep pushing the goalposts further back. I think eventually it will pass, but there is some rhetoric out there saying this thing might not ever pass now if they don't vote on it here soon.
Yeah, Nancy's turning into Little Orphan Annie. The sun will come out tomorrow, and quite frankly, I hope it never does. I hope that thing dies. What about inflation? Because this, I think we all know this is not transitory. It's not temporary. Inflation is here to stay, and it's only getting worse. But what kind of numbers, what kind of information do we have on inflation now?
Well, there's three kinds: food inflation, energy inflation, wage inflation. At least that's what the Fed wants you to believe. In realistic, there's one kind of inflation, and it's created by central banks creating dollars out of thin air for the last 18 months, and that's the Fed's fault. Milton Friedman put it this way: inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon. So inflation, it's monetary inflation. That's all it is. That's what's caused, you know, food, energy, and wages to go up. And I can say this, Thanksgiving dinner is going to be more expensive this year than last year, and probably the most expensive in history. The report came out, turkey trimmings up 4 to 5% than a year ago. And don't believe all what your Fed officials say. We have inflation. It's going to be here. It's not going away. Don't believe everything what the government has said. In fact, I want to read this Statista report on who's the most and least trusted people in the world. Well, doctors and scientists are the most, and teachers, ordinary people in armed forces. But the least trusted people are government officials and politicians. They're at the top of the list, and they represent 91% are most least trusted out of 100% of the people. So
wow.
Don't believe everything that you read about the Fed and about the government. They have an agenda, and their agenda is twisted in many ways. It's always about spending more money than what they have, and they're causing more problems than good in this environment. I've been saying it before. The fire department and the arsonist is the Fed, and the government is in the same category. Thank you, TJ, for that.
Thank you, TJ, for that. Yeah, he's watching today. Early on, he said something funny. I'm trying to see what he said. He's always got great one-liners. TJ's in the business as well. A globally coordinated fire drill from our buddy TJ up there in the Windy City. Hilarious. I've got some more inflation questions, and we'll talk about gold and silver when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Having a full Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com, as always, is the website as we're going through different news of the day with respect to the financial world and investments and the government and banks, everything else going on, which is complicated. And it always ends up rolling downhill to get to most of us kind of quote-unquote normal folks. If you don't have a ton of money, and most people don't, but you have some and you spend money, and that's why inflation is an issue, David, that I think. Do you think that the average consumer in America is paying enough attention to the inflation problem? Because I think we're all noticing that we're paying more for just about everything. I'm seeing more. Have you seen the little Joe Biden sticker that people are putting on pumps? And it's Joe Biden pointing, and it says, "I did that," and they put it right next to the per gallon price of the gas.
I haven't seen that. No, that's funny. we should stick him on some turkeys in also.
Yes, no kidding. I don't know that. Do you think that the average consumer in America is aware of what's going on right underneath their noses? They certainly should be paying attention when they're checking out.
Well, I think that people are becoming more aware of it. And, you know, the people I talk to are saying, yeah, inflation. Everybody says inflation is going to go higher. You know, and just to, it's not a president thing. I mean, we love to blame a president, you know, when bad things happen like this. This is the Fed that did all this. And some of it is government spending, but it's mostly the Fed, the creation of wealth, of money. So, you know, and this is why they're coming out of the woodwork. I'll tell you, there's billionaires that are totally woken up to it. I mean, I've been saying this. I feel like a barker here. Like, The IMF is saying inflation is here. J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, CEO, says inflation is here. Jeffrey Gundlach, the largest bond king in the world. John Paulson, he's another billionaire. He says gold's going parabolic because he's warning of higher inflation. Commerce Bank, the second largest bank in Germany, says higher inflation. David Einhorn says inflation is here to stay. Jack Dorsey, Twitter CEO, says inflation is going to be hyperinflation.
Hyperinflation, right?
Yeah. Paul Tudor Jones says inflation is the number one issue. I mean, it is the number one issue moving forward. We will have, so if you're going to lock in a fixed rate for your mortgage, do that. If you're going to refinance, do that. Do those things now. Pay down your credit card debt. All those things will cost more. Buy staples that you can stock away for years. Buy them now. It's only going to get more expensive.
Yeah, and it's really, I mean, this is the Democrat Party likes to claim that the party of the regular folk and the small guy, but like natural gas prices are absolutely soaring and people are going to be paying, I think I heard twice as much, maybe even three times as much to heat their houses this winter. And I'm just afraid, David, that a lot of people don't even know that's coming. And then once they start getting the bills, they're going to be in trouble and they're not going to be able to pay them. This stuff is really getting bad.
Natural gas is up 110% in 6 months. Yeah. So it's going to get worse, unfortunately. This is the 70s all over again.
Yeah, and so you're mentioning, hey, take advantage and get yourself defensive when it comes to your finances, you know, high-interest credit cards, loans, all that kind of stuff. And Glenn Beck's talking about that a lot. And Glenn Beck, 5 years ago, I'm like, he's a catastrophist. I never listen to what he says. I'm fascinated by him for a number of reasons. He's one of the smartest guys on the air. He's incredibly creative. He's a Mormon, so he's got an interesting thing going on there with his theology. But when he starts ringing the bell for this stuff now, I pay more attention than I did 2, 3, 4 years ago. And I think it's that serious that we really need to look at getting our houses in order. So in terms of gold and silver, which is really at the epicenter of what you've been doing for more than a quarter of a century now, how do we use gold and silver in our portfolios and in our investments as a way to kind of hedge? We use that word a lot as a way to hedge against some of the bad things that we know are coming.
Well, you don't use it to go to the grocery store, just like you're not going to use it for your stocks to go buy gasoline either. But it is the think of like what you've said before, Steve. It's that the scales, the two scales, you have paper money on one side and paper investments on one side. You have gold, silver on the other side. Paper investments do well in a low inflationary, low interest rate environment. They don't do well in a high inflationary environment, and that's where we're moving to. We're finally getting ready to tip the scale. And that's when gold and silver does really well, like the 70s. Gold and silver went up 500%, silver almost double that. And the Dow lost 50% of its value during the same period of time and took 8 years to recover. So now is the time to be looking at getting some education, some wisdom, because we're tipping the scales now. We saw that happen here about a month ago in the index of this consumer price index. The inflation index told us that now everything's starting to change, and all of a sudden everybody's coming out of the woodwork. These billionaires are saying you got to get some gold or silver in your portfolio, and gold and silver is getting ready for a breakout. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme, but it is a well-hedged portfolio. Will have some gold and silver in it. It's very wise and prudent.
Yeah, because the funny thing about all this, the alarming thing for most people that most of us aren't experts, you just look at the last month and you're like, oh, look at the stock market. It was low a month ago and now it's gone up, up, up. It's over 36,000, but it was the other day. Now it's at 35,913. And we go, oh, everything looks fine. But if you look at it over the last 6 months, it looks like a great roller coaster ride at an amusement park. But all the signals are out there that we have some major corrections coming, and people just need to understand, what do you have when the kid jumps off the other end of the teeter-totter and you end up landing flat on your rear end and it doesn't exactly feel good? So how do we look at gold in terms of how you invest in it? Because a lot of people go, well, do I invest in gold companies that are mining? Do I buy and hold it? Can I use it in my IRAs? There's a lot of different uses for it that you can do.
So buying gold in a company is not really gold. It's like saying I'm going to go buy Coca-Cola. No, it's Coca-Cola stock. They don't deliver Coca-Cola to your doorstep. So we believe in physical gold because if they're going to take care of the debt in one of a few ways, either inflation, default, or seize your money through a bail-in. If they do the bail-in, buying gold stock won't save you from that, but having physical gold will. You can buy it over the counter through using funds in your checking or savings account. You can buy it through your IRA. rolling over an IRA to a qualified IRA, and you can buy gold and silver, take possession, and not have a tax liability. And if you do that, and they flip the switch, inflate it, you'll do well, probably, more than likely, based upon history and market cycles. If they seize your money through a bail-in, they can't access this money. If certainly if they default, I can't even imagine what that would be like. It would be really bad for the paper markets. And so get some education on that.
How should people look at the price of gold and silver just over time? Because this year is very different than last year. So help us understand when we're looking at that to make sense of it in a way that we can apply to our own decisions.
Well, a $20 bill and a $20 gold coin were the same, and they were interchangeable in the 1920s. And you buy a brand new man's suit for $20 bill or $20 gold coin. We fast forward today, $20 bill won't even buy a tie, but a $20 gold coin is worth almost $2,000. So the moral of the story is paper money will continue to devalue until they do something about it, like backing it by gold. And this is why you want to back your own currency by gold and diversify it. So you look for gold for the long haul, not what it does next week or next month. Look 5 to 10 years down the road, and that's where you should be looking at. It's the turtle in the race, not the rabbit.
Yeah, what a great point. It's been interesting over the last year and a half, David, when you're talking about central banks, you're talking about governments, you're talking about some of the biggest hedge fund managers and investors out there. And when they're coming out and openly talking about shoring up their gold positions because they're worried about stuff in the future, that's always an eye-opener to me when you see that come out.
They're the driving force behind gold. And 2018, they bought the most amount of gold that year, looking back 50 years. 2019, they beat that year. 2020, they would have beat all the other years, looking back 50 years, but COVID changed it. And now they're back on track to be in one of the top 3 years of all purchases of gold, looking back 50 years. So this tells us something's getting ready to happen, because they bought a lot of gold in 2005, 6, and 7. Then, look what happened in 2008. Yeah. So something's getting ready to happen. Follow what the big money is doing. They're hedging against something. It's probably inflation or maybe even a default.
And what's the best way if people want to start kind of getting educated, if this is newer to them, what should they do?
Now pick up the phone and call our company. There's no pressure. There's no coercion. There's no any of that. We believe that people can make their own decisions given the right facts. The number, 844-604-2575. I'll say it again, 844-604-2575 or landmarkgold.com.
And like you heard us say at the beginning of the show, I mentioned it one other time, if you have any questions about ivermectin in terms of just somebody that's been touched by that and it helped David and his wife, and just trying to get connected to other resources to understand more about that, you can call that number as well if you want to talk to somebody else about ivermectin, 844-604-2575. David, as always, about at the end of the show. But thank you, my brother. Always appreciate you. God bless you. And it's just so good to hear you up and running. And we praise the Lord for that.
Thank you for your story with the picnic on ivermectin, and we're here to help a lot of people. I'm glad we're partnering together.
Absolutely. Thanks, David. We'll talk to you next week, buddy. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thanks. Well, we'll talk to David. So on the other Mondays, we do a Money Monday reset. Okay, not a reset. I was just looking at the Great Reset. So by the way, look that up. We do a Money Monday update. So I was sharing some links on Facebook Live, and we're about out of time, just about the Great Reset. And the Great Reset going on, that's the World Economic Forum. They've been working on this for a while. Listen to this. Just listen. There is an urgent need for global stakeholders to cooperate in simultaneously managing the direct consequences of the COVID-19 crisis. To improve the state of the World Economic Forum is starting the Great Reset Initiative. Okay? The COVID-19 crisis and the political, economic, social disruptions it has caused is fundamentally changing the traditional context for decision-making. The inconsistencies, inadequacies, and contradictions of multiple systems, from health and financial to energy and education, are more exposed than ever amidst a global context of concern for lives, livelihoods, and the planet. Leaders find themselves at historic crossroads, managing short-term pressure against medium and long-term uncertainties. So what's their answer? These are some world leaders, corporate leaders, financial leaders, thought leaders, all coming together. And what's their answer? The Great Reset. They want to change the way the entire world operates from the top to the bottom. Sounds a little bit like a one world government, doesn't it? Gosh, where have I read that before? I put the links up. World Economic Forum, you can look there, The Great Reset. Just Google it and you can go learn for yourself. You got to pay attention to these things, but praise the Lord, one day when Jesus comes back, none of that stuff will matter. Do you know him? This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever for
another program powered by the Truth Network.